All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Tom Nelson. He is a candidate for the United States Senate. And, you know, Tom, to just hear a little bit from the news break and hear the amount of money that is coming into this state under the Build Back Better plan with Joe Biden to address issues with clean water and those kinds of things, which have been long overdue. I guess it does matter if you have the right people in office, huh?
Absolutely. No, I mean, you're seeing a difference right now. Now, mind you, it's probably going to take some time for us to have a full appreciation. See, that's the challenge that Democrats have. And people kind of scratch their heads. This is especially the case at the beginning of the campaign. I started my campaign about 14 months ago. And, of course, you know, a lot of people are hemming and hawing, progressives and Democrats. Oh, woe is me. What did we do wrong in 2020? Was it something I said? Was it something I did? And I think the challenge that Democrats and progressives have is we're the ones who believe that the government is there for a purpose, that we can do something constructive, that we can solve problems. But usually they're complicated problems, and you need to have the right narrative with that. So I see with Build Back Better and the infrastructure bill and the ARPA money coming through our cities and counties and towns and villages, and we're one of them here in Allegheny County, and we've already made significant investments in small businesses and nonprofits. Over $1 million we released in grants to local nonprofits. It's good. But it's going to take a while. It's going to be a while, I think, for the communities to see the full benefit, whether it is getting rid of lead piping, whether it is maybe not fixing a bridge because you can see that right away, or building out broadband, or being able to give a community or to give a family enough money through the child tax credit that they can work or that they can be able to pay their bills, whatever it might be. So I think it's really exciting. And that's also one of the challenges that candidates have, as well as local officials, that we can't just sit back and let that money happen. We need to tell the story. We need to talk about how, you know what? Guess what? That's actually a Democratic bridge. Why? Because the money that went toward that was supported by Democrats and opposed vehemently by Republicans. Candidates for the U.S. Senate has to tell that story about where that money came from and the values behind that, the reasons why we did that. Candidates need to do that. Local officials, county executives need to talk about that. Mayors need to talk about that. Because our constituents, the people that we are accountable to, that we're responsible, like the families on Carolyn Drive, they need to know what we are doing, that we're standing up for them and that we're delivering for them.
You know, Tom, I have a lot of confidence in my man Evan. I'm sure there's a question he probably wants to ask you. Evan, you want to join the conversation?
Yeah, and it's not even so much a question as much as, you know, to sort of back up a little bit, put the macro lens on here. You know, you're talking about there's sort of a foundation here, listening, being reactive in the right ways. And I mean, there's ample evidence for this. I mean, Tom, there's some excellent stuff, you know, going back for your work on senior care, or the Kimberly New Page Mill. I mean, these things that sort of, these tough fights that don't always get the W, you don't always walk away with the win. Mm-hmm. But I mean, doing the hard work is, you can't ask, I don't know, it's tough. You know, you can't wish for better representation in that way. So that's what has me excited.
No. And I think that people expect, I mean, I don't think that when they send someone to Washington or Madison or the county courthouse, that they expect them to succeed at every turn. What they do expect you is to show up to work hard, and do the best you can to do right by them. And so you gave some really good examples. Our fight to save the New Page Weld Mill back in 2008, it didn't work out. When the opportunity came to fight back and save the Appleton Coated Mill in 2017, we were ready to go. We fought back, and we actually won that. Yes. When I took on the payday lending industry earlier on in my time in the legislature, we didn't get anything gone by the time we took over. In the majority, we were able to get some pretty good legislation passed, a law adopted, eventually fell apart when Scott Walker took over. But still, I think, you know, at least, you know, speaking for myself, you know, there certainly have been some real heartbreaks. but there's been quite a few victories, and tastes good.
You know, I have to tell you, man, you really are just an impressive guy from the standpoint of, even though you've been involved in government, you're not that stuffed shirt in government. You aren't Ron Johnson.
Yeah, you know what? It's easy pickings. It's easy. Hey. It's easy to go hard on Rojo, but at the end of the day, he's given us plenty of reason.
Yeah.
The gaslighting, the hypocrisy. I mean, it gets exhausting.
And not only is he not Ron Johnson, but there are many Democrats who career politicians who I excuse me agree that I don't think that career politicians are really going to be the answer to almost any of the things that we have to deal with. And one of the biggest problems that I've seen in my time as an adult is people who stay in and have been in and climb the ladder of the political reality and know all the right things to say, but you know, they're professional politicians, and that's part of the problem, isn't it? Democrat or Republican.
And speaking to that specifically, even I'm a slightly younger individual. Growing up, it was sort of instilled in us through the various institutions, through school, through entertainment media, all these things, that we had accomplished something really, really special in America. And it seemed like the political systems were built up as a way of maintaining the status quo. So you talk about, you know, politicians being sort of bred to say the right things, to look the right way. It was in service of keeping things the way that they are or were. And we've really rocketed past that mark. I mean, we're in this tumultuous time where we need some pretty, pretty intense change. We really need things to get moving.
Are you saying we need Tom Nelson?
I mean, yeah. Like, this is a nice, I mean, to talk about brass tacks like
that. Hey, he just wrote your next commercial, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. He'll take that. I can get a recording and a transcript of this, too.
You got it, man.
You know, man, I just, you are such a breath of fresh air, man. You really are. And no, you didn't pay me to say any of these things. And you and I haven't talked since May. But let's talk about the book, man. Let's talk about the book.
Great. Yes. So the book is the story of how we saved the Appleton Coated Mill. And the quick story there is we were the mill was pushed into receivership by a big bank, PNC Bank, because they could. They called the note and went to auction, was sold to a scrap dealer from California. Now, there's a little provision, Wisconsin receivership law, that says if you have standing, you can object to a sale. So I got together with the workers who were organized by the USW. They had standing. They were the workers. They were going to lose their jobs. And I had a county executive. I had 600 constituents that were going to lose their jobs. So we objected to that. We prevailed on a judge to give us a second chance. He made that new bar, that scrap dealer, run it as a mill. We put together a business model. We united local management, labor, and local government. We made that work. We brought on one machine. In 1 month. By the third month, we had two machines. The fourth month, we had three machines. By month five, we had 300 workers back, and they were getting their profit-sharing checks. It was an incredible story.
That's
and it was
huge.
The exact opposite of what we hear, you know, not just in the state from time to time, but also across the country, the so-called Rust Belt. And so I thought it was important. I thought it was important to tell this story to the state and to the rest of the country. That this narrative of how manufacturing's on the decline, the labor movement is on the decline, here was a really good example of how, by virtue of having an organized union, it's the only way that we could object to that, in addition to what I was doing, that the union saved this mill. And so we talked about that example, but we also talked about, you know, taking lessons from that and how we can apply that in other industry. And then how the example here in Wisconsin, in Northeast Wisconsin, how that came about because of our unique labor and industry history here. I read a chapter about that. And I even, Evan, you talked about Kimberly Newpage Mill in 2008. I have a chapter on that, about why that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And then talking about how the labor movement is a key piece in the future of American manufacturing and the American economy, and that what we did here in Northeast Wisconsin can be done across the state and across the country.
You
so
know,
I
Tom.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes. No, I was just going to say I had a lot of fun writing. It took about 2 years to do it. We interviewed, I interviewed 70 people, everything from paper executives to labor leaders to retirees, including a 92-year-old retiree who went to work in Appleton Coated right after he came back from World War II. It's great. This was probably the best. You know, we got these great reviews. We got a star review from Kirkus, going reviews from Book Life and Publishers Weekly, John Nichols, and so forth. And I loved all that. But there was this guy from Kagana, and I interviewed him, and I gave him a copy of the book, and he calls me up, you know, like 3 days after I gave him a book, leaves a message on my voicemail. He says, "Hey, Thomas, I just want to let you know that I read your book. I started at 4 in the afternoon, and I read it till midnight, and I had to put it down because, you know, I had to sleep, and I picked it back up in the morning. I finished it by noon. This was a great story." And that felt good. Because at its core, these communities are built by the people.
You know, Tom.
It's local management that built up the economy here in the Fox Valley and across the state. We've got great stories all over.
You know, Tom, it is so important, that story, because, again, that's my life story and many others like me who followed their dads into the plant and who made this strongly middle class lifestyle and was able to work as I was, one job from 18 mm-hmm. to 54 years of age, and to retire and then have a pension and all. Part of what destroyed all of that is a plan that was has to destroy unions, because we had all the things we had, and even mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. ancillary companies that did not have unions all made more money because of mm-hmm. what the unions brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And now exactly you look right. today and see how they've destroyed the unions in this country, and the middle class has gone, you know, by the wayside along with that. So, you know, mm-hmm. got to mm-hmm. rebuild the unions
and in real time
before there's any
Kellogg's.
Hope for the middle class to come back.
Yeah.
Let me give you a quick ending to that, because this is absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect, that story you just said, Earl. What happened with that scrap dealer who was, quote unquote, forced to run the mill as a mill, 2 years after we got that going again, he sold it. Didn't scrap it. He sold it. He sold it and he cleared, okay, he netted, he cleared almost $100 million. He made $100 million off of selling that mill. It's still running right now. They didn't shut down, of course. He made $100 million all because 600 USW workers, a little county executive, said, "Nope, we can run this and we can make money." Imagine that. Because of a labor union, that fellow walked away with $100 million. Think of that.
You know, it, and the other part of all of this, and I don't have to tell you, because you are a person who gets it. You know what happened in this country. You, as people scramble now, minimum wage is still $7.50 in some places. I know in the city of Milwaukee is $7.25. That is an insult. In 2021, mm-hmm. that is unconscionable. But mm-hmm. you know, if people don't organize and get people in political leadership who will do more than just pontificate, but who really understand and mm-hmm. what happened, and can challenge the folk who helped create that. Because I hear mm-hmm. people say to me all the time, "Well, the Russian, I mean the the Mexicans took our jobs. Mm-hmm. No, the Chinese took our jobs. No, it was the Japanese who took our job. No, it was corporations.
Yep.
Politicians. Exactly. It was politricksters.
Exactly.
Who passed the laws and made it possible for those corporations to do what they did. They didn't do that without the politricksters who set this in motion. You got a couple more minutes?
I've got as much time as you have, sir.
Love
All right, hang on. Man, Evan, pretty good stuff, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. No,
yeah, we got to go to a break. Yeah, when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. On the line, Mr. Tom Nelson. He's a candidate for U.S. Senate. We'll be right back. Oh.